All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here. Hey, real quick reminder for those of you listening to us on The Ringer, you're going to have about 5 minutes of free content, at which time, if you want to hear the rest of it, you're going to have to leave and subscribe to Against All Odds feed. It's the blue and red icon. I was told to just say it's the blue icon. Heel producer Jim Cunningham says it's too confusing giving people two colors, but I'm going to do it anyway. Blue and red icon. Go find it wherever you listen to podcasts. I promise you it's there. I promise you my boys are here. My gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my overlords of the odds, my barons of betting, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Bri, and Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Sal, what's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, look, I know you guys give out free picks on the site, extrapoints.com. Parlay Kid, you had a nice streak last week, I think, plus 275 with your free picks, right?
Yeah, plus 275 at the end of the week, had a nice stretch in the middle, lost on Sunday. But yeah, nice winning week, and I know Harry, and I think Brother Bri's on a nice streak as well for the most part.
Bri, so, we could say whatever we want at this point. Bri, you want a 4 or 5 or something?
Yeah, I think I'm like 4 or 5. That also includes I had Osaka the other day to win in 3 sets against Azarenko at plus 270, so that was a good one. That was the best one I definitely gave out on the site, for
that
sure.
That tennis was tense. Bri shut down on our text chain. He's like, no, I have to concentrate on this match here.
Well, that was the thing. You said that match was over, the Osaka match, right? And then when she came back, you said, all I needed to do was say something. And then I was like, I am not even going to respond, because as soon as I respond, I'm going to jinx this. So I don't get it.
I guess it happens in other sports, but if someone looks dead in tennis, I don't know. It seems, especially on the female side, it's very weird that you can come back from 6-1 or something and then just like kind of look crappy. But they seem to dig deep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? All it takes is you get one break in the match, and then you could see it. She got that one break in the second set, and then that was really it. That was even on the men's side. I think the Zverev I had during the week, too. He was down 2 sets, and then all of a sudden, he looked good in one game, and that just propelled him.
Brian, against Booster, when I had Booster.
Well, it's kind of like what Brother Bri did to Harry a couple years ago on the tennis court.
He totally broke him.
Harry happened to just get by.
Wait a minute. Time out. Time out, Parlay Kid. Brian is 0-2. 0-2 against me in first sets.
There you go. So if they ever play again, go with Harry first set. Brian 3 sets overall. it's weird when a player gets down in tennis. Their body language suggests that it's going to be over quick, but it hasn't happened in the last couple matches. Speaking of weird body language, Harry, you are... were you? You have some kind of streak going too on the extrapoints.com?
Yeah, I'm still. I got very fortunate, I guess you could say, with my 3-team teaser on Sunday that they didn't give Kamara that touchdown at the end, which allowed my 3-team 10-point teaser to win. And yesterday on Monday night, I did give out the Titans. I stressed to give out the Titans on the money line. Something crazy could happen. Don't lay the points. And look what happened. Four missed kicks and, you know.
I don't want to brag here because I've been wrong about a lot, namely that the Cowboys would have the best record and that the Jaguars would have the worst record. But the one thing I did say is please do not bet. FanDuel had Steven Guskowski up there for comeback player of the year at 60-1. I said, do not go. Don't jump on it. I really hope people didn't blow money on that. That was crazy. That Fangio leaving those timeouts in the bank, that kills me. That's typical. I guess we're going to see that in the NFL all the time. But Harry won. These guys are doing well on extrapoints.com, giving free picks. It's not all rainbow and Skittles, though, with these guys. They have experienced what we like to call, or what we don't like to call, but we have to call, bed aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bed ache. It's a bed ache. It's a bad ache.
It makes me sad just hearing it. I don't know why, but who wants to start with their bed aches? How about you, Harry? You seem especially fired up.
Okay, sure. Let's see. Saturday night, for the week, I was getting killed. Let's just start off while I was getting killed during the week.
Good.
So then Saturday night, things are looking good. Things are looking real good. I have a parlay going. That's going to get back about $500. But before that, I also had Martin Truex, who was up at the top of the lead in the race on Saturday night, too, in Richmond. I have him at 4-1 to win the race. Of course, for the fourth time this year when I've had him to win a race, he's coming second. Mm-hmm. So I lose that at about 6-7 o'clock Pacific time. And then I said, you know what? Since I lost that, what's left on the UFC card? I take this Angela Hill in the main event where, I mean, she's a minus 140, 145 favorite. She lands 100 punches to the head to her opponent who had 63. She lands more punches overall, and she loses in decision by, and all three judges went the other way, including a 49-46 score. I don't understand that. I tried to have a parlay kid the next day when Darren called me and tried to explain to me what the heck that's all about. How did she lose 49-46? So I lose that as well. But the key is I had a parlay, like I said, going to be $500, all run lines in baseball, all win. I had it to the Dodgers and Kenley Jansen, minus 1.5 against of all teams, the Astros, who they hate.
Oh, that was a bad one.
Up 5-1 in the eighth, give up a run, right. 5-2. Now 5-2 in the ninth, but still minus 1.5. Kenley Jansen comes in to close the door, gives up 5 consecutive hits, 4 earned runs, 5 runs overall,
right.
And they lose 7-5. And I can't even get that one. Can't even get that.
Yeah.
Up 5-1, 5-2 in the ninth.
So that's Harry's bet ache. Martin Truex and Angela Hill, very relatable bet stories. I've been hearing about it all week from people losing.
All within a half an hour of each other, all three, by the way.
I think the Ringer listeners who had 5 minutes of access just heard that and like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I need to switch over for the rest. Parlay Kid, what about you? What's your betting?
Well, that's all true with Harry. There was a point I turned to Brian on Sunday when we were watching football, and I said, Brian, has Harry lost like 60 straight bets? I'm not kidding. It just
at Lone Star Park, I have, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's betting the horses too. You guys got, I mean, before you probably even wake up, he lost like 18 horse races.
Here's my bet ache for this week, and I think we've all been there, but it's hard to believe it's a week one, and it's already happened to me. It's one of those weekends where you have so much going on, and not only do all my bets lose, my biggest losses were the Cowboys, and I also had Gallup over 53.5 yards. So that one play at the end of the game cost me like two losses almost. But then not only do you lose your bets, right, but your favorite teams lose. Cowboys lose. My Islanders lose. Not only that, your fantasy teams lose. If you're like us and you're in two or three leagues, if not more, and they all lose. And every move you made didn't work out. Right?
Yeah.
Then you lose in your elimination pool game. You lose your sharp tank pick like I did.
Yeah.
It was first week, and it's already hit me where everything lost this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And not just the bets. It just was a terrible first week football action. I loved every minute of it.
Back, and then but it's the very back. Last thing of the night. I wish they would have buried that Cowboys Rams game at even a 4 p.m. kickoff because we could have enjoyed the whole day as a whole. But on Parley Kid and I with Cowboys, same old. With them. I will say that you guys are going to be like, oh, you're full of shit. But I've been so busy. I didn't even know that I won in fantasy in our league by 5 points or something. Like, and AJ Brown was overthrown like the last play from scrimmage of the game, or maybe the next to last for Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I would have lost that. But it's good to be busy. You don't have to suffer these agonizing Monday night games and Colts fantasy games. All right, Brother Bri, I think Parley Kid touched on what you going to complain about, but for God's sakes, I'm with you.
Well, there's a few things. I'm not even going to get to. I had two of the worst losses I've ever had in WNBA this week, which I won't even tell you about because it's just too confusing to even talk about. Harry,
good,
also,
thank you.
Harry also had a really bad tennis beat that he didn't even talk about. That was probably the worst. But I'm going to say I felt like I had a good feel for the games this past weekend, but my biggest bet that I placed was the Bengals to win versus the Chargers. Seemed like everything was shaping up on the last drive for the Bengals to score. I thought the Chargers were going to be awful this year. They had first and goal from the 3 with 11 seconds left. Burrow throws that great pass to AJ Green. for a touchdown, but there's offensive pass interference on the play. Did he push off? Yes, for sure. But he was also being bear hugged by the D-back that nobody talked about. So there, you do have to get some separation from the D-back. Yeah. So there is a lot of hand fighting, some push off. So that was one. So after that happened, I had lost a lot of money. And then Darren and I were sitting together and Darren says, I may go big on the Cowboys. So I'm like, I'm like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's go real big on the Cowboys, which is never smart. So obviously what happens in the game, again, offensive pass interference with less than 30 seconds left. So I lost back to back huge bets on offensive pass interference calls that were both questionable, especially the Cowboys ones questionable.
Oh, man.
Back to back, which has never happened. So I found a new way to lose.
Wow. Well, good for you. And I guess, is that what they're calling this year? That's going to be the big thing. I didn't know there was a rule change, but like you said, the AJ Green one was a little more, I don't know. I don't think it was worse than Kyle Rudolph's last year in the playoff game, but whatever. Gallup just got his hands caught up in Ramsey's jersey. Ramsey's going to win an MZ, by the way, for that performance. But yeah, that just sucked. And just in general, Harry, I think the Rams, the refs could get together and be like, the Rams own this pass interference thing. Okay, let's screw them over or give the other team the benefit of the doubt for the next 7 regular season games. I don't know if that even amounts to sending them to the Super Bowl for no reason.
Sal, look, you mentioned yesterday on Fox Bet Live also the Patriots Dolphins situation at the end of the game too. Like, I despise the Cowboys, but come on, that Gallup thing was absolutely, you call that, but you don't call the Patriots for that when it led to the interception, which meant the spread for the game.
Yeah, receiver
which if the roles are reversed, that is called 100 times out of 100 if it's the Patriots on offense.
Yeah, no, I know. It's got nice midseason form for Pats and their cheating ways, but good job by them. All right, that's another episode or segment of Bet Aches. Let's hear it, Jim. One more time.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
I don't want to be grim, but we'll I'm sure have another installment next week. It's like just people die. cemeteries will always be in business. I'm sorry. There's always going to be bed aches for us, especially with the volume of wagers we're putting in. Hey, I have a book out, apparently. It's called You Can't Lose Them All. It's available on Amazon for pre-order. It comes out late January, but like I said, you can pre-order it now. And all these guys are featured on this. Parlay Kid. I talk about you and me and us guessing the lines. You would hide in a closet so your girlfriend and now wife didn't hear you going over the lines with me. That was so taboo back then. This is what, the late 80s, early 90s? I guess it was early 90s. Yeah. You were in college at Dayton and we'd call on Sunday night and we go over this. Brother Bry, I talk about you and your gambling futility and also our trip to Oakland, which we somehow survived many, many obstacles trying to get to the field to be on air.
I got
pickpocketed. There was a lot going on. Harry, just endless tales with you in college and you and I betting on games we were refereeing because we were betting each other and on a rec league and everybody in the league hating us and all and the kinds
guy,
of stuff.
The guy who got us the job was our bookie as well.
Yes, because we were in the hole and we had to make it back $6 at a time every game.
Good.
I think we would have... We would have
and
still,
the games.
I don't know how it happened, but we should probably still be reffing basketball games at that rate for what we owed. But so that's it. So it's You Can't Lose Them All. It's available on Amazon.com. And I think it's already number one in new releases for, what was it? Addiction and Recovery?
Yeah, it's for pre-sale. You're number one. I think.
Gambling, Addiction and Recovery.
Yeah, I think it's number one overall, Sal.
Is
number
it really? Overall. Oh, it was a lot funnier if it was just Gambling, Addiction, and Recovery. But I guess if it's overall, it has to be. I don't know if recovery is any part of it. I'm being told by Joel Solomon it is Gambling, Addiction, and Recovery. All right, there we go. Harry, real quick, before we get into NFL, Austin Peay, Pittsburgh, just for those gambling junkies. Yeah. Pittsburgh was winning by so many points. Austin Peay quit, or they just called the game? They're like, this isn't worth it?
No, I think it was the weather wasn't looking good, so they decided at halftime to make the quarters 10 minutes each.
Wow.
Instead of 15. So and Vegas made a rule years ago where you have to play 55 minutes for it to be an official
55
game in terms of betting it. Yeah, 55.
And that's terrible. And Pitt won by a lot of touchdowns.
A lot.
Yeah. A lot more than they needed to if you had Pitt. Well, that's bad. Look for that. College football is going to be such a mess this year, but I don't know.
Let's just go to 10 minutes, right? Why not? Let's just go to 15 to 10 minutes. Let's change the rules at halftime of a worthless game. Why not?
I don't know how they do that, but let's get to the NFL. Lots of fun. We're going to do it all today, guys. We're hitting NHL, NBA, both big games tonight, Tuesday. We're hitting the U.S. Open. And then we're going to go football here, NFL. This is going to be fun. We're doing it all. All right, let's start Cincinnati at Cleveland. This is Thursday night. Cleveland favored by 5.5, 43.5 is the over-under. Cleveland got rolled by Baltimore. As Bri brought up, Joe Burrow kept it close with the Chargers. Probably should have won that game. He looks like a real gamer. Fun to observe. Parlay Kid. Which way are you going, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Thursday night?
Maybe this is going to be an unpopular pick here, but I'm going to be taking the Browns -5.5. This line has actually come down a little bit from, I believe it might have even been 6, but it's now down to 5.5. So obviously there's some action going on the Bengals. So I'm going to go with the Browns here. I think the Browns showed they can run the ball, actually, right? So I think if they can play ahead here, I'm still saying San Diego, let alone... Right.
That's not the bad one.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. I'm right. That's so, all right. the LA Chargers, I should say, ran the ball very well against the Bengals between Eckler and this young kid, Kelly, who looked very good. And I think with Chubb and Hunt, I think we're going to see a lot of them coming up. More of them, less of Mayfield. If the Browns can play with the lead, they might be a lot more dangerous than they are. Having Mayfield trying to win you a game is really not the best idea right now. So if they can run the ball, get a lead, and still run the ball even more and have Mayfield do a little less each game, maybe that's the secret to their success. The Browns had to work out some kinks. They're in a new offense with a new coach. Maybe they got that out of the way week one.
Yeah.
The Bengals are still young. And Burrow, who I liked a lot the other day, I thought he played very well. He reminds me of a young Tony Romo. I just don't think right now, I don't think he's going to get there just yet. I think the Browns win this game somewhere 28-21 and they cover the spread.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. I like the Browns as well. It's interesting because I'm trying to think if there were fans in the stands, what the line would be. Would it be 8.5? Because you always hear about a rookie quarterback on the road first time. Not usually good. I don't have the numbers to back it up, but there's no fans there. It's 340 miles away. Is that right? Will we figure it out? Yes. So I think something like that.
Yes, it is. And Sal, when this game first was put on the schedule back in May or June, it was 8.5, the spread.
Right.
So you kind of right on the money there. So you could see after 1 week what happened as well. People are jumping off the Browns, but I don't think they should do that just yet.
I don't either. I don't think it was a fair indication that game. Baltimore just rolled them. They never had a chance. You're right about Stefanski and running the ball with Minnesota, who's top three in the league percentage of runs. Why not do it? Take it out of Baker's hands. I know it's crazy with all the shiny toys they have with Landry and Beckham and Hooper and everybody else, but run the ball, see what happens, get the lead, and see if Joe Burrow could come back. I'll go with the Browns here, but Parlay Kid, I'm already kind of sick of them. If they lose this, I might be done with them until November or some stupid spot here. All right, Atlanta at Dallas. Oh boy, you know I let you guys pick whatever games you want. I said there are 6 games. Everybody take 2. The Parlay Kid, this is probably the first time ever he passed on the Cowboys game. Doesn't even want to cover it here. I don't blame you. I don't even want to mention it really. Atlanta at Dallas. Dallas 552 is the over under. Boy, Russell Wilson threw a buried storyline. Russell Wilson, 4 touchdowns and 3 incomplete passes, front runner for MVP right now. If you go after one game, And it may just be that that Atlanta defense is worse than we even thought going in. And I hope for my Cowboys' sake it is. Harry, I'm going with you here. I like over 52 points. I think it's like 35-27 or something like that.
Yeah, I really like the over here, too. I mean, the Seattle-Atlanta game you mentioned, Sal, 63 points in that game last week. Wilson, unbelievable. Torched the secondary of Atlanta. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan still went for 450 himself. He had three. They lose by 13 points.
Yeah.
He had three receivers over 100 yards. Three receivers over 100, still lose by 13. I think Dallas was a bit bottled up by the Rams, but I think this offense is way too good. Zeke still looked really good catching the ball and running. I think Dallas is pissed after that PI crap. CeeDee Lamb explodes, I think, in this game. And the last time these two played in Dallas, 67 points were scored. Matt Ryan had a big day that day, too. So I look for a lot of scoring in this game.
Yeah, I think for sure. Be nice, Paul, like if we threw downfield, right? I mean, I guess Aaron Donald applied so much pressure that it was tough to get it off, but maybe more than three times we could throw these burners, right?
We saw the stat sheet there where Prescott's throwing the ball, and I can only watch it so much when everything is the deep comeback route on the sideline, which is such a hard pass to complete anyway. And every time it's thrown, right, you're thinking it could be picked off like a pick six because it's taking so long to get there. I don't know. They changed head coaches, but I guess Kellen Moore is still calling the plays, and I would like to have seen them bring in a little bit of Mike McCarthy's offense, but it looks like the same offense and too many weapons there. There should be too many. There's no excuses.
I don't even kill them for going on fourth down when they could have tied it there. I mean, that was a great play, but if you watch it, to snuff that out, that really should have been a first down. But maybe if the offense was clicking more, I would have had more confidence in that fourth down call. But it was everything else around it. But, maybe if there's no Aaron Donald that we don't have to deal with, it's a different story in Big D. And I guess we'll have a few fans. So that helps. Brother Brian, let's get you in the mix. Rams at Eagles. The Rams are favored by 1.5. This is moved. I think you like the Eagles even giving one. So now you must like them plus 1.5. 46.5 is the over under. To me, this is begins and ends with Lane Johnson. They're so much better. So much better when Peterson coaches and Lane Johnson is at the offensive line. They have like a 70, they win 75% of their games versus like 30% of their games when he's not playing. I bring up Aaron Donald again. He's going to be a force. They're going to have to shift that offensive line around if he's not playing, but it seems like he is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So this is a tough game, but maybe it's just me, but I wasn't really that impressed with the Rams Sunday night. I actually just thought the Cowboys sucked in that game. I still get the sense the Rams really don't trust Goff. Obviously, the keys to winning are just running the ball and play action. I don't know why teams fall for the play action against Goff. I would just send somebody to hit him every play. But the Eagles defense played really well on Sunday, but their offense put them in bad positions. They couldn't block anyone. Washington has that great front four, but obviously that doesn't bode well against somebody like Donald. But Sanders could be back. Like you said, Lane Johnson could be back this weekend. I don't think the Rams are going to score a ton of points here. So I would take the Eagles at home plus 1.5. And I think a somewhat low scoring game, you know, like 24-21 or something.
I don't think as a Cowboys fan, I'm going to get the benefit of an 0-2 Eagles team
Exactly.
off the bat. That's really my biggest reason here. Also, shortish week for the Rams Sunday night going cross country. The travel does mean something there, even though there's no fans in Philly. That will be a substantial home field advantage, I think, because of the travel. All right, Parlay Kid, back to you. Washington, Arizona, the Cardinals minus 6.5, 46.5. I'm not even sure who you're going with here. Washington pulls off the upset. Unbelievable. Down 17 to Philly? Down 17 to Philly. Haskins goes in at halftime. The coach Rivera gets like a fluids and stuff, like a plant thing, like really emotional. Haskins saves his job, I think. I don't know if it was in jeopardy, but they come out like gangbusters. And the Washington football team is 1-0 atop the NFC East alone. Unbelievable. Getting 6.5 at Arizona.
Harry, did you know that this is the first time the Cardinals and Washington are 1-0 to start a football season? Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Ever? What do you mean?
No, I'm only kidding. I want to see if Harry's paying attention. It's not.
Well,
true.
By the way,
it's not.
By
true.
The way, Sal was right. Sal was right. It is the first time. By the way, Sal, first time that you did not take the Cowboys ever, ever.
When
it
was
is true?
What do you mean?
It is
oh,
true.
Oh, Darren. Oh,
I didn't want to touch. Yeah. I didn't want to touch the Cowboys, but. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is an interesting matchup. The Cardinals, I think Murray showed, Harry predicted earlier in the year, he could be an MVP candidate. He had a great game. Hopkins showed he was worth 2 first-round picks rather than 1 second-round pick in that trade with a phenomenal start there for him. Mm-hmm. And the Redskins, you know, I know they were down 17, but if you look at their numbers, you're kind of like, how did they win this game? They were 5 for 18 on third down conversions. They had 239 total yards in the game and rushed the ball 36 times for 80 yards. How did the Redskins come back and win this game like that? I'm thinking Philly gave them the game. The Redskins are still an average, at best, probably slightly below average team, especially offensively. They don't really have the weapons that scare you that a lot of teams have. I think the Cardinals feel really good about themselves coming off one of their best wins in years. I think we take the -6.5 here. I think the Cardinals win this game somewhere like 31-17, somewhere in that area.
All right. I think I like this Cardinals team. I love the team speed. I love that I mentioned that I think that Murray could run for first down probably every other play. It just seemed that way. I don't know. Maybe it was 49ers. They met them sleeping. I like that they came back. It looked like after that Mostert touchdowns, like, oh, San Francisco's going to score 40. Why does Arizona even want to be here? The air is disgusting. I could have, if anyone was going to quit, it was going to be Cliff Kingsbury and that team, but they didn't, and they won that game, and that says a lot. I just think this Washington is going to be a story for a couple more weeks here. I think they keep it close. Maybe they don't win the game, but I think 27-24-ish, an exciting ending. They have some players on defense, Washington. They really do. I think it's close. I'll take the points. Here. All right, Harry, New England, Seattle. That's the Sunday night game, right?
Yeah.
Lots of Seattle -4.
No, isn't it the Saints game against the Raiders?
That's Monday night.
Yeah. Thank you for interrupting. New England, Seattle. Seattle's -4, 45.5 is the over under. Well, I don't know. I don't know that these teams, I don't think they've played since the Super Bowl, have they? Simmons couldn't figure it out, but I guess they would have, right? Well, it's more than 4 years ago, or how does it work? But anyway.
They played in 2016.
16. When was the Super Bowl?
14, right?
Oh, was it? Jesus Christ. That's how old we are. Yeah, they had to have played. Right. 16, Seattle 4, 45.5. I'm going Seattle. I don't know which was the smoke show. Was it? I know they're not going against Atlanta's defense here. I'm not sure how many non-pass interference calls Coach Belichick's defense is going to get here. I felt like Cam, I don't know, was it a more exciting, a more boring version of the Patriots offense that we're used to? I still can't figure it out. But I think if it's going to be a little bit of a shootout, I don't mind Seattle laying points here. New England coming west. Obviously, no fans, no 12th man. But, Harry, what do you think? I think you are with me with Seattle.
Yeah, I am. Sal, I agree with you also with the way the Patriots offense looked on Sunday. Very vanilla. They very easily could have lost that game if Miami didn't have a couple injuries at the beginning. I like that that Pete Carroll finally allowed Russell Wilson to do his thing for a full game and not just the second half where they run boring plays and fall behind by 10 points. They were awesome from the very beginning. 4 touchdown passes that we mentioned from Wilson. Lockett and Metcalf are becoming a very formidable duo in the league here. And Wilson is 2-0 in regular season games versus New England. 6 touchdown passes in those games, 0 picks. Carson looked really good out of the backfield catching the ball. Maybe Seattle just blows out New England because New England was very fortunate on Sunday. I like Seattle too, -4.
Yeah, for sure. We missed a game. Baltimore at Houston. Ravens up to 7. It was, 6.5, Brother Bry? 52.5 is the over-under. We both changed our minds here. I think we both like Baltimore, but now Houston getting the points, but the NFL didn't do any favors to the Texans here. Chiefs, Ravens, back-to-back in week 1 or 2, going against that Chiefs juggernaut on more rest for Kansas City, but we're going to take the points, right?
Yeah, so at 6.5, I was kind of leaning Ravens a little bit. 7, though, I think maybe is a little bit too much. The funny thing is there was nothing I really saw from the Texans last Thursday that I really liked. The Chiefs moved the ball well against them, but it's the Chiefs home week one, so you could kind of write that one off. But I'll make a case for the Texans here at home. This is a weird stat. I started looking back, and I was like, holy shit, let me keep going back. So since 2011, the Thursday night team that lost has gone on to win their week two games. Every team since 2011 that lost that first Thursday night game has gone on to win
week two.
Wow. And by an average margin of 12 points. So maybe this season is different, though, with no real home field advantage. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I think maybe Watson keeps them in this game enough. They had the extra 3 days. So I think that's enough at home getting 7 for a team that is probably better than we give it credit for. I mean, maybe they're not as bad as I think they are, the Texans.
I'm with you. Although I don't know that the Ravens, even though they scored, 38? I don't even know if they figured out their offense yet, running game. I think they have not that they have a ways to go, but they really could be as dangerous, maybe more dangerous offensively than the Chiefs. But somehow, I think Houston, maybe it's a backdoor cover or something. I like them plus 7 as well. Now let's give a little love to our partners here, FanDuel. Yes, we have partnered up Against All Odds has with FanDuel this year. And by now, you've probably heard FanDuel Sportsbook's world-class sports betting app is out there. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They've got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere, and they even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. That's great, Harry. You don't need to go picking through Cliff Kingsbury's trash to find your winnings. It's right there for you. It's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here's more. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get the entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Now, some things I don't understand, guys. I don't understand insurance, how you could pay like $300 a month and get $2 million after you die. This is another thing I don't understand. How do you get $1,000 for betting and losing? Bri, do you understand this?
Well, it's funny that you brought this up because this has been a topic of conversation, insurance in my family, because my brother, his partner is like 60 years old and they decided to get life insurance. He's a huge smoker. Somehow they only have to pay like $200 a month to get like $1 million. I'm trying to figure out how this works out. It doesn't make any sense.
Really?
Just like this doesn't make any sense.
Wait, what? What? What, Brian? I'm in.
I'll say, Brian, no, you're right. But and with this, I don't think you need to pass a physical or prove any like health things.
No,
I think
it's just give you your money back. It's a great deal. It just doesn't seem right. So it'd be like, you know, giving Harry health insurance too. I mean,
yeah, no, you're not
life insurance, you know?
So. Take free risk here. You could take Arizona minus 6.5. You could take the Rams, minus 1.5, whatever. Anything we said, you can go the opposite with. It's risk-free. It doesn't matter. And for the FanDuel double up, you could place a pregame money line wager. And if your team scores 35 or more points, you double your winnings. That's just another promotion. Max bonus, $50 in site credit. Wow. Imagine 35 or more points. All right. A lot of high scorers out there on the road this week. Baltimore, Kansas City, usually. How about Dallas, Parley Kid? That wouldn't be bad. 35 or more points, you take Dallas against that defense, you could double up. He's not sold.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I look, Atlanta could put up 60 against that defense.
That's true. Take them both. Why not? Anyway, if you're ready to bet on the NFL this season, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel.com/AgainstAllOdds. All right. We are going to go over NBA and NHL here. Now, some of these games have played Tuesday night. So if you're listening, you may want to fast forward. If you're listening Wednesday, we'll probably be wrong in our analysis here, but we're going to give it a shot. But if you're listening Wednesday, the games have already taken place. Miami, Boston, game one. Well, actually, let's do game seven first. Denver, LA Clippers, Clippers -7.5, 207.5. I think the Clippers are the better team. I think they win game seven. I don't want to sit through this game. I don't want to watch this. If they're up, they're blowing 17-point leads, I'm never going to feel comfortable. That's all I want to do is feel comfortable watching a game. And you're going to have to keep a close eye on it if you have the Clippers here. Brother Bri, the under, though, maybe that's what we should focus on. I think there have been three game sevens this year, and they've all gone under, and maybe even by double-digit points. Am I right? 207.5.
Yes. So let's jump on the under. 207.5. It might seem low to everybody, but the unders are now 25-5 in the last 30 NBA games. I keep texting you guys every game. It's the under, 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 under. It's amazing. We rarely take it. But especially in game seven, I know you've talked about it, Sal. You talked about it with Simmons. This is where the defense is really ramped up. The players are tight. The three game seven so far in the playoffs went so far under. The Nuggets Jazz had 158 points. The total was 218. The Rockets Thunder was 206. It was 216.5. The Celtics Raptors was 179. And the over under was 204. So it's going way under. I think both teams have been playing solid or great defense. I could see the Clippers easily holding the Nuggets in this game to like upper 80s or 90 points and this going under here.
Yeah, and we don't have a hot Jamal Murray who's putting in 55. I feel like those days are over. You know, Jokic, if it's going to work, the pick and roll, fine. They'll win, they'll lose, whatever. But nobody really hot. They're shooting in the low 30s behind the arc, both teams. So I would like this under anyway. And the fact that it's a game seven, like you said, it's going to be even tighter. All right, let's move on to the Celtics and Heat. Parlay kid, I'll give you a shot at game one. Boston -1.5. I thought it's a little light. I know all the Boston fans are already crying. I'm like, oh, no, they're better than us. They're Lou Holtz in this. 209.5 is the over-under. You're staying away from the side. You're picking the total for game one.
You're going to take the under. I think everything's pointing to the under. The Heat have come under 7 of their last 10 games. The Celtics 8 out of their last 9. When these three teams met during the regular season, the under hit all three times. The Heat haven't played in a bit, so they might be a little rusty, especially because they do shoot the ball a lot. So I think this game, and look, these are two pretty good defensive teams here too. So I think 209.5 is a little high here. Let's take the under because most of these games seem to be going under right now anyway. So why wouldn't this one?
Yep. And what do you like for the series, Parlay Kid?
I'm taking the Heat plus money here. I think the Heat, I said this yesterday, I texted this to our buddy Alec, but...
He's the worst.
This is a shooter's game right now. The Celtics have Tatum shooting at a 42% from three. Their next best is Smart at 34%. Butler's shooting 50% for the Heat. And they have four other players who are shooting better than 38% from three. I think their shooting is just better than the Celtics shooting. And I think that's going to win them the series, probably in seven.
Wow. Mm. Wow. All right. Yeah. I should say Celtics are favored -134. It's so tight for the series. So that gets, I think the Heat, you get +120, 122 right in there for the take back there. Harry, you disagree. You think this is going to be fairly quick.
I do. I think it's going to be Boston in five. You can get that at 5-1 odds. Boston was 2-0 before the bubble against Miami. I think maybe since Boston took care of the defending champs in seven, this just really gets them rolling. Despite how good the Heat have looked, Tatum, Brown, and Walker all averaged 20 plus points in the playoffs. Marcus Smart, though, I think might be the X factor here. Him versus Butler will be fun to watch, but overall he's been fantastic defensively. And I think maybe just overall Boston's looked like the best team, I think, overall, maybe in the entire playoffs. Miami, they have been great as a five seed, but overall here I think Boston takes care of business now that they're done with Toronto. In five games at 5-1.
All right, Bri, what do you think?
Well, I will say I did give out the Heat back in April when we did the podcast at 60-1 to win the title.
You did.
I felt good about that. But I'm going to go with the Celtics too here. I just think they by far have the best score on the court in Tatum. Defensively, I think they're the better team. Walker, Kemba Walker was god awful in that series against the Raptors. But I also think that had to do with the Raptors defense. It's just guys like Lowry just get up on you so much. It's just hard to do anything and they frustrate you and then you end up just sucking. I don't think Miami really has that guy, right? I mean, Butler would be that guy and he's not going to be guarding Kemba. So I do think Kemba is going to have a better game. I'd expect Jaylen Brown to have a pretty good series. And I don't think this is going five. I would lean more to another seven game series here.
What happened to Lowry? Why is he Magic Johnson all of a sudden? He lost us so much money back in the DeRozan days with Toronto and everything. And now he's like this, he's shot from a cannon. That said, I think the Celtics do make everyone's best player look bad a little bit. I think they do that. It may not even be as deep as Miami. And if you want to say Lowry was the best player, fine. But Siakam went away. He was gone. Smart. They just really had nothing. You could say the same about Kemba. But I think the Celtics find a way to get this done. They're the better team, the better competition than Miami has seen. And they wrap it up in six games. All right, moving on to the NHL. Well, Tuesday night, Tampa looking to wrap it up against Dallas, the New York Islanders, Tampa -175, 5.5 over under. Parlay Kid, you feel bad about talking about this because now you want to brag about having Tampa all year long, but it's at the expense of the New York Islanders, your beloved team.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say right now the Islanders are probably not coming back in the series. Look, if I had to pick one team that's capable of doing it, the Islanders are that gritty type of team that that could pull something like this off. But Tampa just seems to be too talented, even though they're missing quite possibly their best player in Steven Stamkos. Back in almost a year ago now, when we did our preseason hockey picks, I gave Tampa Bay to win the whole thing. I said they would kind of be like the Virginia Cavaliers of hockey, where they got knocked out. Suddenly, after an unbelievable season last year, they got knocked out in the first round, and then they would bounce back this year. Have really put the pedal to the metal here, and I just think right now they're the best team in hockey. Whatever the odds are going forward, take them to win the cup. I think that's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get right now.
Harry's shaking his head. He doesn't remember you giving Tampa Bay out early in the year. But
I really don't. I really don't. But that's okay. It's okay.
That's not right, Harry.
Listen, Sal, I agree with that. I agree with Darren about the Lightning, too. Look, Kucherov and Braden Point have been phenomenal in 16 games, I think, in the playoffs right now. They've combined for 50 points in the bubble. They're undefeated in overtime, actually, too, which is huge, too. And I just think overall, the Lightning, after getting past Columbus this year and not getting past Columbus the year before, I think that got them rolling. I think they win the cup. Even though Dallas, unbelievable, 8 comeback playoff wins, tied for the most ever in a playoff ever. And they're also 5-0 in overtime, too. So give Dallas the credit. They have been unbelievable. Nobody wants them around, but they keep winning these games. Darren speaks of a gritty team. Dallas is a gritty team with a lot of no-namers on this team. They had one guy for the regular season have over 40 points total for the season.
And all right, Harry. Let me remind you, your pick was Tampa Bay, and I am going to be talking about Dallas in a second. And we have to get through this quickly. So let me, all three reminders. Tampa Bay to win the cup real quick, -165. Dallas +150. The Isles 30-1 right now. Bri, what are you thinking?
I do like Tampa here too. They just by far seem like the best team, but it's hockey. Anything can fucking happen. We just Harry talked about the Stars, 8 comeback wins. I've been on the wrong side of the Stars in every one of those damn games. The Knights have cost me so much money that I really should not bet any more hockey at this point. I should just watch the rest of the games, let the season just go off because, like I said, the Stars have really just continued to kill me. You think they're going to, you know, they get a win. All right, I'm going to jump on against them the next game. No, they win that game too. They're the comeback. And last night killed me. So I don't even know at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know either. And I think you love hockey. I love hockey. Hockey's kind of dumb. Just the best team doesn't really win. Look what the Blues did last year. I feel like the Stars are the same thing. We've all said it. If you can get plus money for them to win the cup, the way they've done this, you guys said 8 come-from-behind victories. They have an NHL-high 12 the whole season when they trailed going into the third period. That's insane, 12 wins trailing going into third period. They had a weird year. Their coach was fired in December, even though they had a winning record. It was strange circumstances that he went. It's very weird. They struggled to score for most of the year. They averaged 2.5 goals per game, 26th in the league. Ben Bishop, the goalie, gets hurt, and then they're around every single game at the end. That's the kind of team that wins the cup in this day and age. Also, our friend Frank played the Dallas Stars in Sega. You're right. Remember? And I would reluctantly admit that he was the best. I mean, we'd play Chicago and Detroit, all the good teams. Frank would play the Dallas Stars and Modano. But Parley Kid, real quick, where was the bar on Comac Road? He would go and he would play tournaments and he would win. He would win these tournaments. It was a night. I would have law school. Yeah. He would
never heard this.
I know where it is. It's by the library, but I can't picture the name. I don't know what the name of it is. I had law school class. I would never be able to play on Tuesday nights or whatever it was, but he would play the Stars and beat everybody.
True story. And have they been the Dallas Stars for that long? It makes me think, like, wow, they've been the Dallas Stars.
I guess so. I think that was the very beginning of Dallas Stars days. Anyway, all right, let's go to U.S. Open. This is in Winged Foot, Harry, right?
Yeah.
Mamaroneck. Yeah. Close to Jim's hometown.
There you go. Not far. Jim, have you ever been to the Winged Foot?
I have not, but my cousin used to be a lifeguard there.
You and your cousins. One goes to Bubble Rock. Is that the same Bubble Rock cousin?
40 cousins, man.
Do you really have 40?
Yeah, wow. My mom's one of 12 kids. My dad, one of 5.
Wow. Oh, my God. Totally lost track of you. This is why you never get back to New York. They're like, what? Oh, whose kid are you? Oh, you're our kid? Harry, it's a demanding course. DJ, my God, he's plus 850 to win this thing. That might even be too high. He's on such a crazy roll here. It's tough to bet against him. But you're going to take a shot with John Rahm.
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot with Rahm. Look, at your Halloween party last year, me and my pal Tony Romo both agreed that this is the year that Rahm wins a major. He's 25. He's second in the world in rankings. Had a fantastic season. 8 top tens. Was second in scoring average. And in the last 2 months, he's been in 6 tournaments. Rahm has 2 wins. 5 of those 6 have top 15s. During the 3 FedEx Cup tournaments, his worst weekend round was a 67. His worst. So let's give it up here. Let's try to get Rahm, like I said, second in the world rankings at 10-1. Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot with John Rahm here.
All right, Brother Bri. Golf, I think, has been pretty good to you for matchups, right? But now we have to pick a winner.
Yeah, usually. I mean, well, the only matchups I used to win were the Rory matchups, and then I lost the big time the last time. I don't know. Golf in general has killed me probably this year, but I'm definitely going to bet DJ. I think maybe Rahm a little bit too, but if I'm looking for some value, I'd probably go Webb Simpson at plus 2,800. That is Darren's boy. He won the U.S. Open in 2012. Look, the U.S. Open is all about if you can make pars, right? As long as you can be around like plus 2, plus 3, you're going to have a chance probably to win this thing. I like the fact that Webb was first in the PGA this year in bogey avoidance, and his putting game is top notch. So I think just with those stats alone, he has a chance to be in the mix of the top 10, top 15. So at 28-1, I think he'll be right there.
All right, Parlay Kid, you're going with the bomber, Bryson the bomber, right?
Yeah, I'm taking DeChambeau here, Sal. You know, 2 months ago, in early July, you could have gotten DeChambeau in all 3 of the majors: the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Masters. 10-1. He was going off at all of those at 10-1. Now you might even see him roughly, depending on what site you're looking at. And you can give me the FanDuel odds if you could find them right
28
now.
28-1.
It's 28-1, right? Like so Webb I actually Simpson. Thought maybe they had come down, so I didn't want to even say it. So 28-1 on a guy who was 10-1 2 months ago to win this tournament. I just think that's too good a value to pass up for a guy who's playing the best golf in the world. And his game is falling off here, not just a bit, but a lot. But maybe he was trying some different things. Maybe he was trying to iron out some kinks. So I think at 28-1, this guy can bomb the ball. And maybe he can, if he can play some bogey-free golf, and he's more likely to maybe because he can drive the ball so well, pick up a few more birdies than other players. 28-1, great, great value here for Bryson. The mad scientist, they call.
I haven't looked, but I think, hold on. There's All right, so there's three late afternoon NFL games. This I think is getting a screen for me, the U.S. Open on Sunday. If it's anywhere close, this will be fun. I'm going Xander Schauffele, 14-1. I have the same stats as you guys, but he's 26. He's looking for his first major. Everyone's like, why not? Why not this one? And U.S. Open, last three, he's finished top five, tied for five, tied for sixth, and tied for third. Six top tens and a dozen career major championships. That's pretty much it. And they say he's up to the task for this demanding course. Everything I read says Xander will be there standing Sunday, 14-1. Brother Bri, Webb Simpson, 28. Parlay Kid, 28-1 with DeChambeau, and Harry, 10-1 with Rom. All right, Sharp Tank, let's do it. These guys pitch me their best bet. I buy one of them. I went with Bri last week, and that was a winner. Bengals plus the points. It probably should have won on the field there. Bri, let's start things off with you. What is your best bet?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm the Gostkowski of Sharp Tank, right? I kept missing and missing, and you showed your faith in me, and I finally got one last
you
week.
You are. Come so, back better of the year.
I'm going to go Bucks-Panthers over 48.5. These are two of the worst defensive teams last year, right? I'm not sure if the Panthers will be able to stop anybody this year after watching the Raiders game last week. The Bucks offense, I would assume, is going to do better this week. The last time these two teams met, there was 63 points. I thought this line would be around 51, 51.5, like some of these other lines. So I think 40.5 seems low. I think the Bucks win this game like 31-24.
All right. There you go. Parlay Kid, what is your Sharp Tank?
This is a
pick?
Dangerous week for me, Sal. This is dangerous because I literally could put about 10 teams on a parlay this week. I'm not going to do that here. I'm only going to take four teams. Because it's just so the money lines
just four?
They're too good to pass up here, guys. I mean, -400 Chiefs at Chargers. The Chargers just didn't show me too much offensively where they can keep up with the Chiefs. So we'll take the Chiefs -400. I'm agreeing with Brian here with Tampa Bay -450 over the Bucks. Look, Tom Brady's not losing two in a row here to start the season. He's just not. The Ravens at -310. I know Brian gave that stat out about the loser of that first Monday Night Football game winning week two. But most teams haven't had to start off with the Chiefs and Ravens after giving up their best player in Hopkins. So the Ravens at -310. And the Titans, who are still looked like the Titans last night. I think they're just a solid football team. I think the Jags got their one win. Not that they're not going to win again, but I think they're kind of celebrating. I think they come back to earth against the Titans. They're -460. The Titans are. You add it up, it's about a +145 parlay. I would have liked to have added like four more teams to it, which I will on the side, but not just for the show here.
There's a lot of college -3,000s in there.
I'll be taking those. I'll probably be putting seriously like a 15-team parlay together.
All right.
I saw somebody hit like an 11-team parlay this week, so I got to top that.
Harry, you had the Dolphins last week. A little bit of a screw job in the end zone at the end. You are currently, on my Zoom view, you are sideways, and it's very, very distracting.
Everybody's Zoom view.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Harry, what's your best bet?
Listen, I'm going to take, I'm gonna lay the 7 here with San Francisco. I know they got to travel to the East Coast. They play New York, the Jets, and then they play the Giants, so maybe they'll stay there. But look, I like San Fran here against the Jets. They played a tough game against an upstart Arizona team. Raheem Mostert had 150 yards rushing, receiving. It's good to see Jerick McKinnon back after 2 years. He had 50 yards and a touchdown. He might be the difference, big time for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. Look, Robbie Anderson had 115 yards, and six catches, 75-yard touchdown for Carolina. How come Sam Darnold couldn't do that with him? Never could. It's still, they don't have Le'Veon Bell this week. He's banged up. Adam Gase said, I wrote it down here. He said about Darnold, I've just got to get Sam more in a rhythm early in the game. No shit. Wow. No shit. Honestly, I mean, that's what you say, Gase? I mean, this is 3 years that head coaches have been making excuses for Sam Darnold. He's simply not that good. He can't read defenses. San Francisco's D is going to be coming. Nick Bosa can't wait.
He's 7
for
and 6 last year.
And the Jets
wasn't
last
he?
7 games.
Now, did he freeze or did I freeze? I don't know.
No, he Harry froze.
He's sideways and frozen here.
San Fran gets it rolling early.
Sorry, I'm not
Jimmy
going with
G
his pick anyway.
Gets it rolling.
He's still going.
And I don't, you know, and I don't care if Kittle's playing or not. They roll over the Jets.
All right, we lost Harry for a second.
He kept going. He kept going. How long was he talking for?
I have a feeling after we stop recording, he still goes on and on. Does an extra 15 minutes.
Yeah, don't cut that out. That's pretty good.
I 110%, man. 110%.
All right. I was just thinking, how weird is it that the 49ers are excited to fly to New Jersey for better air quality? I'm just looking at that now. Mm. I don't know, Harry. I don't know. I feel like I know where the Cowboys went to the Jets and lost. It was a little later in the years, probably like week 5 or 6. I don't trust the Niners just yet giving points. I think they're going to right the ship eventually. Parlay kid, I also don't want to jump on 4-team money line parlays just yet. I'll be with you, buddy. I will be with you down the road. I promise I'll be with you on these. I just need to see a little more before I think like half the schedule, a quarter of the schedule is going to pan out on a parlay. So brother Brian, I'm with you. Bucks, Carolina over 48.5. We won last week. We will win this week. We're going to put all these picks on our extra points, social feeds. We're going to do this. We're going to have the U.S. Open picks, NHL, everything else. Guys, what do you have to plug? Parlay Kid, I know you're busy.
Yeah, I'm at the Chalk Talker, Sal. Another great week of sports. This weekend's going to be fantastic. That's all I got left because here in Suffolk County, they have decided to not start any high school or middle school sports until January of 2021. So a lot of let down young men and women right now, but hopefully they'll get a chance to play in January. So let's hope.
Real quick, I'm sorry about that. That sucks. And my son is practicing football now, but they split him up into groups of 12, and they're told that if they are seen outside of practice with anyone other than the group of 12, they can get suspended from school. Like, I don't know how it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're going to be able to do this.
Come on. This is unbelievable.
I don't know how they enforce that, but, or maybe they won't. Maybe they're just putting a scare in everybody.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really, really crazy times. Brother Bri, Farley Kid's at the Chalk Talker. Brother Bri, what about you?
Yeah, I'm at the Brother Bri. My daughter had a soccer tournament this weekend, so we got 4 games, even though Suffolk County, no high school, middle school sports, but these travel Amazing. Leagues are still happening. So I was glad to get that in. Seemed to be run mm-hmm. safe enough. Like Parlay Kid was saying, though, I'm looking at these lines this week, and there are so many teasers to take. This could be either really great or really bad. I think I might just mix like 6 or 7 teams at a lot of money on 2-team teasers, right? Oh, I mean, that those 6, I mean, we're putting the Chiefs on a teaser with something, right? At 8.5.
You know what? Start off with Clippers Browns and see if it goes from there. It's a money line parlay. Just do that. All right, Harry, what about your kids? What sports are they playing? Is Harry gone? Is that it?
He's
I think
frozen.
That's it. He's frozen.
Wait a minute. I'm back. Back.
Okay. Do you have us on mute?
Brutal.
Come on, Aaron.
I don't know. Listen, bad error. Listen, I got a, let's see, what do I got? Thursday, colonoscopy. That's going down. That's fun.
Great. Can we bet on that?
Sheesh. Listen, if anything happens, Parlay Kid, I'm leaving your 9 kids my $47 I got in the bank, in my bank account.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's a lot more than I thought.
Sure. Wait, can I ask Harry though? Harry, are you in California again right now currently? Cuz Harry Harry said you guys are going to have to carry the show a little bit for me cuz I'm trying a vacation here in California.
A vacation. Where are you?
I'm back. Where am I? I'm in
you're in a bathroom right now, but what city are you in?
This is
Laguna.
Back to Laguna. All right.
Oh my God.
Stay there. Amazing. All right. Jim Cunningham. What about you? What are you going? You're not going to make it to New York. They really should do a reality show about Jim Cunningham's quest to make it back to New York. Really, just never leaving his apartment. But go ahead.
I'm just trying to find the right travel agent.
I know.
And there's no bigger plug than Harry's colonoscopy, but. You follow me on Twitter at Jim Cunningham and the eyes are ones.
All right. There you go. And that's it. I'm at the Cousin Sal. Check out all our podcasts, not only Against All Odds here on the Extra Points Podcast Network. We have Extra Points Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Waiver Wired twice a week with Jerry Ferreira and Jen Piacenti, Lemon Pepper Parlay with TJ Houshmandzadeh and Rob Parker, Jeff Schwartz and Dave Damashek do Minus Three, and Laugh Lines, me and Rachel Bonetta. We have Guillermo on this week. That'll be fun. And that does it for another episode of Against All Odds. Watch Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to extrapoints.com for all these guys' free picks. For the Degenerate Trifecta and Jim Cunningham, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Nah, nah, nah.